Good morning and good coffee, everybody. Hey, it's time for some morning coffee with Larry. I'm glad that you are here joining with me today. It is Wednesday, the 4th of October, 2023. Grab your cups. Just cooled enough to make it good coffee. Not scalding when I take a nice big slurp. Oh, well. If you are in the United States today, we're supposed to get a test alert where apparently everybody's phones are supposed to go off at the same time. Sounds like some sort of movie scene out there, but we'll see how the national test goes. Excuse me, big yawn. It is 5:15 this morning for me, so wherever you're at, well, you're not listening to it live, but oh, I think if I did a live show right now, no one would be listening. So I'm going to just stick with recording it so you can listen to it at your leisure. Oh, well, I tell you, we didn't have it quite as warm yesterday, and that was nice doing work outside. I had to continue, and I was able to, for the most part, finish up cleaning manure out of a goat shed that we needed to get cleaned, and had many scoops on my Kubota tractor to move to our compost pile. So the compost pile's big. We'll be able to put that to good use over the winter and letting it leach all the nutrients into different garden beds. But yeah, it was a good work day yesterday, and I hope to have a similar good work day today. We'll tell you what, we are getting close to the end of our book, The Triumphant Marriage by Neil Clark Warren, and we are on secret number 10. Today will not be the last day of it because we got a few little odds and ends with the book that we're going to finish up with. But today's topic is Pursue Spirituality. Partners in great marriages find significance in their spiritual lives. When it comes to when it comes to matters of faith, relationship with God, faith practices, regardless of, what a particular person's spiritual or religious beliefs are, it's like other traits and other key factors of marriage, and that is that compatibility, not really compatibility, is that the word I'm looking for this morning? I guess it is compatibility is key. If when you look at the topic of commitment to marriage, is this couple, so the husband and wife, in agreement, are they compatible on what commitment means in marriage? If they take vows that, the traditional vows of, till death do us part, do they both agree on that? That's going to impact marriage. If one person is, but the other person isn't, then the person who is has, they're not standing on as firm a foundation as probably they would like. If they are in agreement on the different roles that married couples, should have or should not have, that's going to allow for, more compatibility. But if there's, as far as if they're in agreement, if they're in disagreement, then that can become a festering sore. There's just all these different things that, when couples are compatible on, finances, relationship with families, the different things that Neil talks about in the book, the more compatible, the better. the better success. It makes for an easier road. You're not having to, you know, fight those battles constantly on every single hill when you're in agreement on more and more and more hills, you know, from start to, you know, throughout the journey of your marriage. And matters of faith, relationship with God, views of God, spiritual practices, the more compatibility there, the better that's going to be. In essence, think of it this way. Which would be better? A couple that are on separate spiritual journeys that they don't really discuss, that they don't necessarily share, but they're just both on their own individual spiritual journeys, or couples who are linked together, that are in sync. Doesn't mean they're in the exact same place all the time, but they're on the same path. And, you know, it's kind of like if you're on a hike, are you within sight of each other? Or is one person miles ahead on the trail and the other miles behind? And I think that's one of the key things that he's, you know, bringing out in this 10th chapter in his book on the 10th secret, is couples who are practicing spirituality. And I got to be careful with that term because it gets redefined every few years. But that's why I'm going to just use faith practices. When they are in when they are together, when they are in agreement and they are working together on that, they have a better chance, a better experience of having a great or a triumphant marriage. You know, it used to be our society was more strongly linked into the Christian faith. And when you have that, I think it allowed for a better understanding when it came to these kinds of issues, or not necessarily issues, these practices, these ways of thinking, this life. When you have a society that is very different, a society that has a wide range of different kinds of religions or faith practices or lack of practices or more, coming up with their own approach, then when it comes to couples, you find a lot of couples that don't really put a big emphasis when they get together on the spiritual things of life. And that can lead to couples being, I guess you would say, mismatched in this area. I knew a couple in college. They were seriously dating. They were talking marriage. I left college and they were still just, you know, seriously dating. The question that I raised was, they were both strong in their faiths, but they were mismatched in a way. The one was very practicing Jewish, was not like Orthodox, but was a strongly practicing Jewish individual, and the other was very strong Roman Catholic. And while they both, you know, had a lot of similarities, you know, in some practices or in some aspects of, you know, like the Bible, there are some major, major differences that have to be addressed, you know, whenever you're looking at, especially with kids and how kids are to be raised. You know, what do you believe, you know, in essence, brings you to heaven? Those kinds of things, they were not compatible on. They were going to have a harder time with that. So I guess the question that I raise that comes to my mind as I think about the chapter in this book is, where are you and your spouse on matters of faith, religion, religious practices, relationship with God? Is it something where, you know, you have a strong compatibility? Is it something that you share and you practice together? Or is it something that you don't really talk about? It's not really an area where you have unity, that you're not in mutual practice. You're not in it together. You're just in it separately. You see, to me, and this, I'm going to get off on my own here and my beliefs. When it comes to relationship with God, that's something very important to me. And I'm thankful that I have a wife who her relationship with God is very important to her. And we had this kind of foundation as we started our journey of life together many, many, many years ago. And we have worked through many of the different differences that we have, that we started with. And we have also found the ability to really work through this journey of faith and relationship with God in our Christian faith together. You know, there's a lot of different things when it comes to practices, religious practices, that often when you look at people that come from different denominations in the Christian faith, that they focus on the differences between groups, but often ignore the areas where they're in agreement. And I think when it comes to couples, if your focus is on the differences that you have and not the things that you are in agreement on, that kind of puts a wedge. Not to say those things aren't important, but I think it's more important to focus on what are the things that you have compatible? What are the things that you're in agreement on? Build on those things. And what are other important practices with faith? Is it important? Are you in agreement on the involvement with, you know, the body of believers that you have? Do you have a church that you go to in common? Do you have, similar friends that and maybe other couples or other family members that you join together in your faith community? Are you, do you read the Bible together? Do you pray together? There was a study done. It was reported when I was at a conference back in the 90s. It was with the American Association of Christian Counselors. I have hunted for this study. I have never been able to find it, but it was quoted by one of the speakers. And I loved hearing it. I just wish I could find it. So if any of you out there have come across it, please shoot me an email. Find me on Facebook. Let me know. But what they did was they found that it was looking at success in marriages and looking at divorce rates, and with divorce being, you know, of course, a failed marriage. The study found that, when you look at the typical divorce rate for first marriages within 10 years, I think was the factor, it's roughly around 50% by the 10-year mark. But couples who prayed together, and one of the things that they noted was couples that hold hands as they pray together, their divorce rate was way, way, way less than that at the 10-year mark. Why? Well, if the spiritual realm, if God, you know, if that is real, then as a couple, you're joining together and tapping into that. You're involving God in an active way in your marriage together. You know, I would tell couples, especially in pre-marriage counseling, okay, you're gang married at a church. What you're basically saying is, we are getting married not just in God's presence, we're asking God to be a part of our marriage. It's not just two in the marriage, it's three: the husband, the wife, and God. And when you include God on a daily basis with your marriage, not just individually to God, but as a couple, then that strengthens that bond. That brings, you know, the creator of the universe into an intimate role with your marriage. And it can lead to very, very good things. It doesn't mean that, you know, marriages aren't going to face struggles. But when you keep that practice going, do you kind of see how it's harder and harder to splinter apart? And it's more and more likely that you strengthen together. Even if you face crisis, even if you face tragedy, if you hold together and don't splinter apart, especially in the spiritual realm, guess what? You come through it. You know, when I was working in hospice, you know, I saw families facing just monumental challenges with a family member who was terminally ill, especially when it was a child in a family. And I saw some families and couples splinter apart because of that. And I saw some that joined and became tighter and closer as a result. You know, it's real easy to put limits on spiritual unity and connection in marriage, often because we feel uncomfortable, or there's a level of embarrassment, or we never saw that practiced in our families when we were growing up as kids. We did not see it with our parents. Maybe we saw it at dinner time, but saying a common table prayer doesn't have the same level of intimacy like what I'm talking about. Going to church together is a good thing, but if it's left at just that, it's not pursuing the intimacy that a couple can have on the spiritual level. You know, it's limiting it. It's cutting it short. But what happens? What happens when couples dive deeper? And I mean dive. They're choosing to go deeper together. Very, very good things can happen. You can have, it's more than just a stronger mortar to hold the bricks together. It creates a greater sense of purpose for your marital relationship and then consequently for your family relationship. All right, well, that is all for today. Next time, we're going to wrap up with three suggestions, and then we're going to crack open also and read through the 25 other secrets that these 100 couples shared with Dr. Warren that were good enough. They weren't good enough to build a whole chapter on, or I guess, you know, they were good enough. You just have too big of a book and you couldn't do a deep dive into the top 10. But these next 25 are very, very good as well. And we will cover that also next time. So finish coffee today, get brewing for next time, and we'll talk to you then. Have a great one, everybody. God bless.